From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
So here we are. It is the moment. It is the day. It's the time to build the station, the great station, CIUT 89.5 FM. This is the Taylor Report. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Phil Conlon is here. How are you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil. I'm ready to raise some money.
You're ready? Exactly. We're not playing.
No, we're not playing. No.
This is not about the principle of the thing. This is about the money. This is.
Yeah, well, the principle is important, too, but the money is the thing today.
The two are linked.
Yes.
Linked, intimately linked. Yes, no, I pardon my cynicism. I didn't mean to do that. We, of course, remind you, this is month of May, and Taylor Report and CIUT, we want to raise a lot of money for the station. Do we have a magic number, Phil, we're looking for?
I believe it's 100,000.
Okay, so anybody with 100,000, yeah, you can start it off, and then everything else will be cherry on top. But you can go to www.ciut.fm, and it says donate, and you punch donate, and then, of course, make sure you're a member at $89.50, right?
That's right. Then your name goes into the draw for a prize if you give $89.50 more.
You're at the ground floor.
You're on the ground floor, and then you're also a member. You can come to the annual meeting, and there's a bicycle giveaways. Okay, here we go. Two Everyday Decibel Moto e-bikes. Okay, e-bikes 2, they're called. I don't know. I'm not getting on one of these things. If I win it, I'm giving it away.
We're going to take that as a promise. We'll have a draw at the Taylor Report to get Conlon's bike.
Yeah, then there's also an Everyday Transfer Folding e-bike. I'm going to give that one away, too, if I win it. Then there's the Northern Lights Folk Festival, which is where? Someplace outside Toronto. Ramsey Lake in Bell Park in the heart of Sudbury.
Now we're talking.
Oh, that's... I've
done time there.
Yeah, I've done time there, too. Wonderful town. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Go ahead. Further prizes. This is CIUT.
Yeah.
CIUT.fm, donate to get in on this, $89.50.
The 16th edition of the Oshiaga Music and Arts Festival, presented by Bell in collaboration with Coors Light, will take place on August 4th to 6th in Parc Jean Drapeau in Montreal. Oh, boy. This prize includes 2 weekend festival passes to Oshiaga and a $350 Via Rail gift card.
All right.
So you take the train to go there. You don't have to drive. Ooh. You don't have to fly. Take the train.
Great.
Enjoy yourself.
You're a railroad man.
I am.
Yeah. Well, and our railroads are relatively safe. If we were on the other side of the border, we wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, they're better than theirs, but yeah.
They're better than that.
Yeah, right. But they could be safer. Lula World Festival, May 16th to 21st, a 6-night mashup of Latin, Afrobeat, Indigenous, Experimental, Bengali, Hip-Hop, R&B, Arabic, Timba, and Slavic brass from around the globe, presented in collaboration with Pineapple Express Media, TD Music Hall, MarsFM Canada, I don't know what that is, and Block. Prizes include 2 festival passes to Lula World 2023. So that's a lot of prizes. So
And
there's a swag package. Look at this, a swag package.
This is Phil's day to discover things. The way we do this is have him walk in the door and see it.
2 T-shirts, 2 mugs, 2 water bottles, Bluetooth speaker, and stickers, and you choose which one of those swag things you want, or
get two
of them or something.
Swag.
CIUT.fm, or you can call. We have, as the old person used to say, there's operators standing by.
They did that.
They did say that, right?
Yes.
And if you call 416-946-7800 or 1-888-204-8976, or you go to the website, cot.fm, if you don't want to talk to the operator standing by, and just take out your credit card and let the money flow.
Get it going. Thanks, Phil. By the way, Phil, you have an announcement just to show what we do on the show. There's something coming up, I believe, in Hamilton, but you have it in your hands.
I do.
This is Phil the reception, the voice of Phil Connelly.
For the launch of a new, I don't know if I call it a zine or a zine. But
zine.
A zine, okay.
We're going with zine.
We're going with zine.
I heard type of magazine. There was a vote in the back, and we took it. We went with zine. Okay.
The zine is entitled Canada, Stop Arming Saudi Arabia, in Hamilton, live Saturday, May 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Workers Arts and Heritage Center, which I believe is on Stewart Street in Hamilton. The zine is about grassroots support for the people of Yemen, which involved local people blocking Canadians' arms shipments to Saudi Arabia. Admission is free, refreshments will be served, and you can pick up a free copy of the zine. That's this Saturday night in Hamilton from 6 to 8 p.m.
Well, thanks a lot. That's another reason to call us up, 416-946-7800, or toll-free from out of town, 1-888-204-8976. This is my eye test for the day.
You passed.
I could pick that up. I did very well.
Yeah.
And, of course, as Phil pointed out, the most convenient way is just to go to put, you know, eliminate the middleman, go to www.ciut.fm and donate and kindly mention, if you would, the Taylor Report. I said this business about my eye test. It turns out, Phil, this is striking news. I was reading the Globe today, and it turns out that we're starting to have eye problems amongst the Five Eyes, according to today's Globe, that if we don't get in on AUKUS, which is Australia, who? U.S.
AUKUS is Australia, U.K., U.S. Got to speak English. You got to be white. Yeah.
Oh, of course. But this is a problem of white guys having a problem, because now they say that three eyes are starting to look at the two eyes, and the two eyes would be New Zealand and Canada. And so I hate to say this, but we're getting our eyes crossed, and we're starting to dot our T's. I mean, it's a little bit odd. This is where you end up when you have an ignorant policy led by fools. It all started, as they always say, let's just go to the beginning. As you know, the proverb, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. In this case, as the weed is bent, so grows the weed. And the weed was a big moment. I understand it wasn't the only moment, but it was a big one. And it was Donald Trump told Prime Minister of Canada, I want you to arrest an executive member of the largest, most successful tech outfit called
Huawei.
Hey, did
arrest them?
He said, "I want you to pick her up." And of course, this was all. Think of how we always remind our listeners. It was one of the lowest stunts at the time the decision was made, and Prime Minister was told to do what he's supposed to do, and he did it. She was actually in China. She hadn't traveled, so Five Eyes got very busy, and they checked on her plane tickets and everything else so that she could be intercepted in Vancouver, have her personal iPad and phone taken away from her. By the way, with lies, where they said they needed to see that when they did not need to see it, and they didn't waste 5 seconds, they immediately gave it to the FBI. So you can't do things like that actually and recover. What it meant was that Canada was being taught a lesson by Washington, by the guy who, you know, he didn't waste time with folly swallows. He liked having power. So he said, I want you to do something, and you don't tell him no. So they did it. So, of course, they had to rationalize the whole thing. Lo and behold, there were repercussions. The Chinese arrested two individuals that they identified as being NGOs with a dubious profile. But everybody here understood they were totally innocent and wonderful people. They couldn't believe anybody would think that a Canadian would ever engage in anything illegal abroad. It's never happened, by the way. As far as I know, it's never happened. So it was shocking to everybody. But it also meant we had to go down the road from which We cannot turn back. We're on the road. That twig is bent. And now it's leading to, as today, a diplomat from China is being expelled from the country. That's our news today. But and there, I think, is time when we have to say, as we do on the Taylor Report, we're going to stand against the tide. We think it's all malarkey. That should be resisted by people who like democracy. And I thought on the way here that it reminds me of something we probably ought to note. This would be, you have to chalk up today's removal of a diplomat to the unknown leaker. It's a chalk it up to the unknown leaker. Perhaps someday we'll have a monument because he's regarded, it is regarded, they are regarded, whatever it is regarded as a hero. And no one at any of these hearings, when you notice how they all look very serious, and they all lean into each other and they all spark with hatred of each other because I am more anti-China than thou. No, you're not. I'm the most anti-China. I'm going to show you who's anti. I mean, we're into a deadly, ugly, stupid. Anyhow, so all based on leaks to the globe. And lives, careers are already being damaged. Asian Canadians are, there's no question, the data shows, the anti-Asian violence and skullduggery bothering people is going on. But by the way, that reportage on that will decline because if you report on it, you're going to be undermining the great effort to confront blah, blah, China. But yeah, we should have a monument to the unknown leaker because we trust a secret policeman who has violated his code of office and is passing around allegedly top secret things so that the public can become excited and we don't have any process and we don't have any evidence. But if you if you say that, of course, you put yourself on the wrong side of the game, which is to increase this problem. And I mentioned the two-eye phenomenon. You remember the United States and Australia decided that Australia had, which was buying submarines from France, shouldn't buy submarines from France. They should buy them from England, and they should be nuclear submarines. And France said, well, thanks a lot, you stabbed us in the back, which is true. But France isn't a member of Five Eyes, so you got to remember.
Well, they don't speak English.
They don't speak English. Yeah. And historically, they had the wrong religion. I mean, they're completely messed up. We're doing the best for them. But at any rate, that's where we've gotten ourselves. And we talk about it on the Taylor Report, to which you should contribute. You should call us up at 416-946-7800. Donate to the Taylor Report. There's a locution, Phil, in the Globe that irritates me. I don't know if you've read this or noticed it. But the Globe likes to say, well, sources say, an important official says, and then they say, when the Globe is not identifying him because he's not authorized. So here's the question. How would you know that? The correct way to write that would be to say, he says, or they say, they're not authorized. Because there is such a thing, as you the Globe ought to know about it, called leakers, people who leak. And so when you cover for them, and you agree on the language, but you don't know if that individual was told to call you and say, I can't, of course you can't identify me. But you should write it that way.
Well, it's like an incantation now, right? I mean, if you don't read it five times in the Globe every day, you haven't read the paper. You
know? Listen, if it's been leaked in the Globe, you can take it to the bank. I mean, that's the new mantra. If they leak something, go. we can start arresting people at any moment, because that'd be the patriotic thing to do. This is CIUT. It is the Taylor Report. You can support the station. Support the Taylor Report. Go to CIUT.fm. Donate. Do mention it's the Taylor Report. Speaking of some of the things we do, we have Tony Lea, an important union member, writer, theoretician, and we like to talk to Tony because we want to be up to date with the Canadian labor movement and to report actually whether or not there's any movement. And Tony, as I understand, the Canadian Labor Congress is meeting today.
But I think, they are. Yes, they are, Phil.
Did I drop a plate or did you? At any rate. What can you tell us about it?
I can tell you that this week the Canadian Labor Congress delegates are meeting in Montreal. There's about 4,000 delegates, and it's a important gathering of people who represent the labor movement in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's been kind of a dramatic. It's been, what, two meetings? This is the second meeting since they lost the former Unifor member and probably the best-known CLC leader for a decade. It's been under new management. And what's it
yes,
like? Who's speaking there?
We should mention that the former president of the CLC, now Senator Hassan Youssef, got his reward, payoff, I'm not sure what the right word is to use, and is sitting in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had new leadership of the CLC for the last couple of years, and I believe that team of candidates or leaders is running for re-election. I haven't heard much controversy about that. I did see that the leader of the NDP, Jagmeet Singh, was one of the speakers today.
Uh-huh. I had looked at a preview, and I don't. So that was Jagmeet's being there. That was kind of a surprise, wasn't it? He wasn't.
I don't know if it was a surprise, but he wasn't on the initial list of speakers that I saw as well.
Mm-hmm. And so there's this really prominent leader of an Amazon local has he spoken or he's going to speak?
He's on the list to speak. I don't believe he's spoken yet. Chris Smalls, who led the organizing effort that really caught a lot of people's attention a little over a year ago, where 8,000 workers is a massive Amazon warehouse were organized, won a vote to be represented by the Amazon Labor Union, and Chris Smalls is the president of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still battling with Jeff Bezos and Amazon to try to get a collective agreement. And of course, Amazon has spent literally millions of dollars so far to try to prevent that union from being recognized.
This is probably the most visible labor battle in America, right? I mean, if Americans follow the issue of organization and building unions and all that, this is the one story everybody's heard about.
Yes, and Chris Smalls is a great spokesperson for that battle. They organize the union one person at a time, most of it by talking to workers at the bus stop where workers get on and get off to go to work there over the course of a year. So it's quite a engaging and inspiring story. And, of course, those workers operate under very difficult conditions. A lot of them suffered from COVID in the early days of the pandemic, weren't protected properly.
He was recently in the Caribbean, by the way. And I don't think most people here are hearing about him.
Chris Smalls was part of the big international delegation that was in Cuba for May Day and called
May Day, Smalls.
Cuba, May Day, and international solidarity. Those are words that go together well. And he was there calling very loudly for the end to the blockade which has had a devastating effect on the people of Cuba. And in the course of his remarks, he pointed out that the people of Cuba have a great president.
Hmm. That's not done, actually. There must That doesn't compute. That's really, it's exciting news. Yeah. I didn't read about it in the Star or the Globe. I didn't hear about that. I guess I know they look after me, so I have to believe they thought I probably shouldn't be worried about that or
All the news that's fit to print, and obviously that's not fit to print.
Or all the news that gives them fits.
They don't print.
Yes. Tony, what about the... your own union, I shouldn't say your own union, your brothers and sisters in the auto workers in the U.S., every week now they do something kind of different. Can you bring us up to speed with that?
Yeah, there are many of us who are members of Unifor who wish that it was our union. These days when we see the kind of fight they're putting up against the two-tier system, which has... really damaged the working conditions and livelihoods of auto workers in the United States, and it's affected us in Canada as well, and I'm sure in other countries. And for the first time, they're really making it the key issue for the negotiations that are coming up this year with the big auto companies, who are making billions upon billions of dollars in profits, can easily afford to pay people equal wages. And it's a sign of how far we have slipped as a labor movement in the United States and Canada, that we even have to raise the idea of people getting the same pay for doing the same work.
Yeah, and isn't the origin of that the unions were going to help management when management was having problems some years back? And so everybody said, well, we've got to help out.
You know, the big financial crisis, 2007, 2008, that was how it was sold. And a year or two later, all of those companies were making profits more than ever, in fact, because Chrysler and General Motors were able to shed billions of dollars of debt and not pay it back. And so they had drastically reduced wages and gotten rid of other liabilities. And so they're making profits at a higher rate than they ever have. And that did not translate into workers getting back what they gave up. And it didn't translate into retired workers getting increases in their pensions.
So the new leadership, UAW, is going to take that on.
New leadership, which only exists because the members fought for and achieved a system of one member, one vote, and therefore had the ability to choose their own leaders rather than having them anointed by delegates at a convention. And they chose leaders who are pledged to fight against the concessions, fight against corruption, and get rid of two-tier systems. And they've already... are working very hard to get that message out and to rally the members to take on the auto companies.
Now that was decided at convention whatever it was, the preparation for contract talks. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, by the way, the word is going to come across the border. And I don't know, I suppose it also resonates Mexico. I mean, when that kind of leadership stakes out territory, naturally, auto workers everywhere on the continent are going to say, how about we do the same thing?
Absolutely. That is so true. And that is how historically the labor movement has inspired people, is by making gains. When one group of workers is able to fight and achieve something, then everybody pays attention and says, well, that's what we ought to be doing.
I noticed the recent... public sector workers, the PSAC, I guess it was, and the Globe and Mail and the Star immediately started worrying, oh, well, if you do that for them, the other guys are going to want to get paid too. Same amount. This is panic.
Yeah, no, that's...
It's as though there's only so much to give, you know. And so
We can't maintain our profits if we improve our profits if we have to pay workers. And that's just should go without saying, I guess, from their point of view. The leader of the CLC in her remarks to the convention today said that it was time to kick ass for the working class. And I kind of like that. I think that's correct.
Who said that?
B. Brusque, the leader of the Canadian Labour Congress.
Well, all right.
At the convention today.
We'll put that on the, that should be on the masthead of all union papers. Easy to remember and positive. Well, Tony, we really appreciate that, and we appreciate the contributions you've been making on the labor front. It's opening up. I guess last time we talked about May Day last time, some and the significance and the fact that Canada, of course, doesn't recognize it, and the other members of the Five Eyes gang are not excited about it. But we have a third amigo, Mexico. It is a national holiday in Mexico, right?
I think that's right, yeah. And in most of the world.
Odd that we're so advanced, and yet they have that. Well, Tony, thanks very much for joining us. As you're helping us with our spring fundraising drive, and we do appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you, Phil.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, this is the Taylor Report at CIUT.FM. You've been entertained. It's time now to get busy. Go to CIUT.FM, donate, kindly mention the Taylor Report. You can call us up at 416-946-7800. If you are in Singapore, you can call us 1-888-204-8976 and donate. And here's a good labor story. In memory of Karen Snooks, Ron Meswak has donated, and we really thank Ron, and we like the occasion to remember Karen Snooks, who was a labor militant and a very fine artist, an all-around wonderful person, and she was part of the postal worker group that was led primarily by Ron and Peter Leibovich, when they had the great strike. Phil, you might even remember when the Toronto Sun said they were going to, the Worthington of the Sun said he was going to cross their picket line. Karen was there, Ron was there.
I remember that Peter Worthington said, "We need a Spartacus to rid ourselves of that union." I said, Peter, you don't understand, Peter. Spartacus would be leading the union. That was one of Peter's greater moments.
he got up on the wrong side of it today. Yeah. And the wrong side of the history book.
Yeah. Phil, I want to tell you that I just looked up Mexico on May Day, and the Mexican workers on May Day, of course, it was a national holiday, there were huge parades, and they said that the 40-hour work week is now their goal because Mexicans work 6 days a week and they think that's enough. We don't need to do that anymore.
That was said at Haymarket.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go. So they said it on May 1st in Mexico City, and hundreds of thousands marched, according to what I can find on the internet, but they didn't tell us about it here.
I know that we have union leaders here who keep thinking they want to help Mexico. I would say, listen, you get us May Day. Like the workers of Mexico say loudly, clearly, we established May Day in Mexico as a national holiday. That was us. See if you can do it here and then take up advising them. Because I know you're a born advisor. You can get it done. But if you can't do it at home, please do not go abroad and mess it up.
Phil, let me remind our listeners, you need to call 416-946-7800 or 800-204-8976 to donate to CIUT. If you donate $89.50 or more, you become a member of the station, and your name goes into the hat for all of these magnificent prizes. I read them out at the beginning of the show. I'll read them out at the end. There's a lots of prizes. You really want to get in on it, and the draw for the prizes will be on June 1st. You won't have to wait for months to find out, so... So let's do it.
This is the State Report. Indeed, let's do it. CIT.fm, donate. And just along the way, mention us. We'd also, here's what we do, among other things. We try to bring to light information that is actually not a secret, it is available. But for some reason, the mainstream press doesn't care to enlighten us. Recently, it was a week ago, that President Zelensky of Ukraine had a conversation of 1 hour, I think. It was a long conversation with the president of China. Incidentally, now that we're in our hate China mode, I don't want to spoil it for Ottawa and all that, but the vice president or major diplomat, Chinese diplomat, attended the coronation of Charles III. And he probably got more attention than a prime minister and others. You want to be careful about baiting another country, one that big. And particularly when you lie about it so much, you can really get in the hot water. I know you can sell it to the home folks. Who couldn't? But you go abroad with this baloney that you talk about China, and people will laugh at you, from including Europe. Europe is not totally enamored with the idea of following Biden and Trump. Trump, Biden, Obama. Speaking of which, Syria has been readmitted to the Arab League. I hope listeners know that. The media here is having a hard time deciding how to report it, but it actually what happened was, if you remember, President Obama told President Assad of Syria that he had to step down and he was not going to wait around. He was going to see to it that he was removed. And Secretary of State Hillary Clinton participated in the same exercise. Anyway, Assad's there. Obama's gone. Hillary was in town being interviewed by Chrystia Freeland, which must have been a high point in her career. She must have been thrilled. Who was that? I don't know if you know this, but when Jack Kennedy visited Canada for the first time, Diefenbaker, who was really quite a different figure, he's totally gone from history. This is not to be repeated, but yes, he actually had some sharp questions for Jack, indicating he wasn't enamored of the American president. And while he was talking, Kennedy, who's a famous doodler, was doodling, and then he threw what he was doodling in the wastebasket. So when he went out the door, the Canadians leaped on the wastebasket and took a look at his note. And the note said, "Who is this SOB?" Anyway, that can happen. So the whole point is that Syria, that everybody wrote off and thought they were going to do a Libya too, it didn't happen. They murdered Gaddafi. And of course, we got to give Hillary full credit. She took full credit. We came, we saw, he died, which she thought was fun.
Yeah, she giggled when she said that.
She did.
Yeah.
Is it chauvinist to say she cackled? I think it was not fun to listen to or watch. But it is symptomatic of what's wrong in the world, where the world is cracked. And Tater Report is trying to fill the cracks, trying to fix things. That's why you gotta have to call us up. Don't have to, but we'd really like you to call 416-946-7800. Donate to the great station, CIUT. And, of course, along the way, if you would mention the Taylor Report, if you're out of town and you may very well be, call us at 1-888-204-8976. And the most efficient way to get it all done, go to CIUT.fm and donate. I was telling about Zelensky. How did I get onto Syria? I don't know, but I did. But anyway, Zelensky talked to China for 1 hour. And the papers here, I think I saw, they said they weren't sure how this call had come about. because they had been mocking China. China had made a peace proposal to resolve the fighting in Ukraine. And the Globe and the Star and the New York Times and Washington Post said, well, that's a non-starter. We don't need China. The last thing we need is them. Tell us anything. But there was a call. So they made it, they neutralized it. There was a conversation. Just to be fair, and I'm not trying to make show anybody up, Zelensky is the one who called President Xi, and they spoke for an hour. And the detail of the call that I want to call to your attention was Zelensky affirmed that the position of Ukraine on Taiwan is that there is only one China. Now, he must have been ignoring the advice coming from Chrystia Freeland and the Ottawa gang, because they're all playing this dirty ambivalence game, which is how you get hurt. And because they say, oh, well, we're 6-1, have to, we're thinking about doing this other thing. No. This is not something to play with. And to his credit, and the credit of the brain trust in Ukraine, that was affirmed during the conversation. Now, please share that with your neighbors, because they will not find that in the daily paper. You found out because you're listening to the Taylor Report, and of course, should be a good reminder why you want to support the station, CIUT, and the program. You call us at 416-946-7800, and toll free from out of town, 1-888-204-8976. Of course, you go to CIUT.fm and donate, and we would appreciate it. We've been talking here about labor, and last week on the show, and it's something we're going to keep doing. We want to explore the origins of the North American labor movement, and also the establishment of international solidarity amongst working people, and the movement for people's democracies or socialism, all of which happened there in Chicago. If you look at the Chicago story of the Haymarket Martyrs, as they're called, you will see it's sort of like looking at a plant that is just beginning to emerge. And nothing was stable in terms of what they wanted to do. And if, for example, on socialism, I've been reading it more and more closely, and I've been struck by this, that the Haymarket leaders are called anarchists. But in their testimony, like in the case of Mr. Fielden, who was began work, as he explained to the court, when he was 8 years old at a cotton mill in Lancashire, which involved boycotting Confederate cotton. He was asked, are you a socialist? And he said, yes, I'm a socialist, and explained why. Then later, they said, are you an anarchist? And he said, yes, as far as I know, I'm an anarchist. And so you could just see that there was people really weren't quite certain of their footing with their ideas. And it's such a tragic thing. I'll remind everybody that a bomb was thrown on May the 4th at the end of a outdoor meeting where speakers, labor leaders, were speaking from a wagon, top of a wagon in Haymarket Square, it's called. It's actually not a square, it's a street. And they never never identified to this day who threw the bomb. And policemen were killed, but then the crowd had not been doing anything. All the evidence was that they were quiet, basically, and it was beginning to rain and they were going to go home. And so this is a very important matter to underline is that there's no known perpetrator. And so, but they proceeded with a case which basically led to the situation was spoken to by one of the defendants, Mr. Schwab, I think it was, or Spies. He said, I was charged with murder and convicted of anarchism because he hadn't done anything. There's no evidence he had met with anybody, carried out anything. And there was a lot of shame-faced reaction. I just recently learned that they were going to sentence 7 of the 8 to death, but Schwab and Fielden wrote to the governor and asked that the death sentence be commuted to life, and he agreed. One of the people who wrote to the governor asking him to commute the sentence was the judge, Gary, who is one of our villains in history. We talk about Judge Gary. Everybody saw that terrible monster. He was, actually. And, hey, thank you very much. There's news coming here. Ken Stone and Kay Basham donated. And actually, they said we should keep up the good work. My God. I'm going to take that as an inspiration. We will do that. We are going to keep up the good work. Please, everybody, follow that lead, 416-946-7800, and donate to the great station, CIUT. If you're out of town, do it at 1-888-204-8976. Go to www.ciut.fm and donate to the Taylor Board, we hope. And we've also had, here's a brilliant lawyer, David Jacobs. And he's been on this show. He's a labor lawyer. By the way, he's an international lawyer. He was one of those who, together with Ramsey Clark and John Philpott and T. Fenn Dixon and going all the way back, I'm trying to remember the name of my favorite Flemish fellow from Belgium. Belgium's like us, you know. They have a little secret, the Flemish and the Walloon. That's a Belgian secret. When you arrive there, you'll find out. His name is here. You'll find out about something about language. At any rate, David stood up to a court which was interested in prosecuting only one side in order to bring distinction on the United Nations. Anyway, thank him very, very much. Follow his lead, 416-946-7800, and support CIUT, and go to 1-888 if you're out of town, 1-888. If you're in Havana, by the way, we've been talking about Havana. That Smalls was in Cuba, isn't that right?
Yes. You know, I was reading a story that a lot of young American socialists were on that trip to Havana, and they really got the third degree from the U.S. border guards when they got home.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
No.
Wait
a minute.
They took away our phones, didn't give them back, by the way, held them and interrogated them for 4 or 5 hours, yeah. And they said, well, what law did we break? They said, no, we're just asking you questions. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just questions. Right. No problem. Yeah. That's why, by the way, Taylor Report is among those, and the group is growing. It was against this silly idea, extremely dangerous idea, of foreign agent registration, because people will be interrogated and they'll say, what are you talking to me about? Oh, we're just asking a question. And I will quote Pascal again, laws are passed to create crimes. They say, oh, we haven't, we got a new law here. Let's go around and bother somebody.
I like that. That's a very good thing that Pascal
you
said.
Have, as we were speaking to Senator Wu about this, and he pointed out, let's just have ordinary democratic process. If you say a law has been broken, go ahead and do something about it. But I don't say, we have to watch these people. We need more power. They got plenty of power. They're sick with power. They've had enough. Tell them you want to have your own opinion and say, I deal with evidence and please don't keep whispering. And don't tell me you know a guy who knows a guy who can't tell us his name, but he wants to tell you that 10 people that he can name, you should go and bother. Now tell him, I would say, no, tell him to come out of the woodwork like a real grown person. And as I said to Senator Wu, I would like Brother Leaker from the Globe to run for office. Okay, so you violated the Secrets Act, and that's okay with me. But you have to come out and run for office. See if anybody likes you. My guess is he couldn't be elected dog catcher. That's my guess.
By the way, Phil, have you noticed that the Globe, which really is addicted to these people who leak, doesn't have a word to say about Julian Assange, who, of course, was a...
He's a champ.
He's the best leaker.
They used his leaks, by the way.
Yeah, they ran them in the paper, didn't they?
They made money off him. Yeah. Well, he did some terrible things. I mean, he produced the video of a helicopter crew murdering newsmen. Those are journalists. Killed him. And that, you should not do that. That's just like when Obama came into office and there had been the Abu Ghraib. Yeah. You remember that? Torturing people, playing with them. We all saw the pictures. Yeah. Playing with them, torturing them. They ended up dead, screwed up, lost their minds, all this. And they decided, oh, well, okay, you've seen enough of that. Actually, no, go ahead, show me. They didn't, you know, they didn't show us all the pictures. They're just some of the pictures. But at any rate, you're right. Julian Assange, well, you know, they make him rot. Meanwhile, they tell us they give a damn about journalism. They couldn't care. They don't get 2 cents about journalism, which is why you listen to this CIUT and the Terror Point. We talk about this stuff. 416-946-7800. Make a big come in on the ground floor at 8950 so that you can get all the prizes. Frankly, Phil was dazzled when he came in here. He said, "What are the prizes?" And we haven't been able to contain him. If you're out of town, 1-888-204. Pick out your favorite prizes there. 888-204-8976. What's your favorite? The bikes? You don't want the bikes.
I don't want the bikes.
But you know that. The ordinary person would.
Right. dinner and show package for two on any Friday between now and the end of August at the Lula Lounge. Okay, here's these bicycles again. We'll just pass them over. But they're worth $4,000. Two bikes worth $2,000 each and one bike worth $1,600 each. One's called an Everyday Decibel Moto e-bike and one's called an Everyday Transfer Folding e-bike. Well, I hope that interests you folks, because that's real money. You can turn around and sell them and then donate the proceeds back to CIUT.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you can ride around on the bikes.
Phil belongs to the I Can Get It For You wholesale gang.
Absolutely. The Northern Lights Festival Boreal, the Oceaga Music and Arts Festival in Montreal, August 4th to 6th. I don't know if you've ever been in Montreal in August, Phil. It's a beautiful month. It's a wonderful time to be in Montreal. You can go to the Parc Jean Drapeau, and you have a 2-weekend festival passes to Oceaga and a 350 via rail gift card. That'll get you a round trip to Montreal.
I like the via stuff.
Yeah.
Train travel is, frankly, the best.
Oh, absolutely.
It's something
absolutely
wonderful.
Absolutely is the best.
I went through the Canadian Rockies. Yeah. And they stopped the train and said, okay, everybody get off and have a look at this. Oh, my gosh. It was beautiful. I mean, I like the idea. Okay, stop the train. I was reading B. Traven, the Hanged.
Rebellion of the Hanged.
Rebellion
right?
of the Hanged.
That's right, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I put my bookmarker in and I got off the train. But...
I hope you finished the book. It's a very good book.
Oh, man, is that a great book, yeah. B. Traven. Is he a great story, the mystery guy? Yeah. He was better than, the undetected character who
For years and years, I believe that they had figured out who he was.
Oh, no, they know now.
But no, but people tell me no. I spoke to a B. Traven fan recently. He said, no, that story about him being the German guy.
Listen, we're going to have to bring Tony Lea back.
Tony's a B. Traven expert?
He's a B. Traven
guy. Well, he should actually come on the show and talk about B. Traven.
John Huston, the director, met him. And he said he realized... when he met him, because he said he had a letter from B. Traven, said I'm going to work in the jungle. I'm an anthropologist. I'm not going to be in town while you make the movie, but I have an assistant who see you, and if you need advice and whatnot, he can help. And Huston said it took him about 20 minutes to figure this is him. This is the guy. and Treasure of Sierra Madre. Take time out. Stop listening to Taylor Ford. Run and see the Treasure of Sierra Madre. Oh, my gosh. That had to be the best thing Bogart ever did. And he didn't even know he was doing it. And the old cowboy actor, I figured there was a cowboy actor in there. So, hey, by the way, we're having a contribution from Gene and Barry, and that reminds me that Barry Strom was one of the leaders of that of the confrontation, which never happened, with the phony Napoleon, Mr. Worthington,
right?
Who he had a cardboard sword, but he didn't show up. He was afraid of Peter Leibovich. I don't blame him. So Gene and Barry.
People should know that famous postal strike back in the 70s, and Peter Leibovich and many of his colleagues were the subject of great interest by the Toronto Sun, or really thought that Canada was going to be overthrown. You know, they were demanding
guess it was possible.
Outrageous things. You know that they wanted a maternity leave in the contract.
No.
And Peter Worthington said, this will ruin the economy. Canadians cannot afford this.
And think what it would do to women, you know.
Yeah.
So, no, he was really on everybody's side, a champion of the people. He's so missed. Everybody talks about how much they miss him. I was trying to remember the last person I saw, but I can't. Nothing comes to mind. I think I've talked about it on the air. There's a great movie called The Last Detail, and you saw that film? No.
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. Tell me about
The Last Detail. Here in Toronto.
Yeah.
And they had, and part of it was shot at the old post office and at CN at the station there.
At Union Station, there's a
Union Station.
It used to be this massive post office with hundreds of workers. You know,
I talk like I'm from out of town, but Union Station. So the postal workers there was a common. What they called in the Marine Corps, we called it the head. Anyway, that was what Jack Nicholson was calling it for his part. He was going to go to the head. And Peter Leibovich and his pals, probably Karen and all the others, were sitting on bags of mail because they said, don't make any sound. You know, Jack Nicholson's doing his big scene. So Peter said, Nicholson went by him about 20 times saying, looking over his shoulder saying, I'm going to the head. That was the end of the shot. I'm going to the head. And so when he saw it in the movie, it kind of took the fun out of it. You know what I'm saying? He said, I saw him do that. And they said, no, do it another one. Do it again. So we've been talking about movies. Listen, we made great films. Treasure of Sierra Madre. The Last Detail. Great. As someone who was in the military, I can tell you, they got that right. This is CIUT. We forgot to mention CIUT.FM. And go to that. CIT.FM. Donate. Please mention the Taylor Report. Call us up, 416-946-7800. Toll free, out of town, 1-888-204-8976. Now, something else I want to tell everybody about just for your little points of facts to know about the Haymarket. As you know, they were hanged on November 11, 1887, 11-11. So when we come to November 11 next time, we're going to say something about this. That's the day they hanged the Haymarket guys, four of them. And when they brought them out, they sang the Marseillaise.
Wow.
That's what they did. They came
that's
out.
That's a nice detail.
Four of them came out.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but it's so grisly. They always turn these things into a ritual. They were wearing like a white robe over them. And of course, and then they put the mask down. And I read a journalist who said the hanging was botched because the knot wasn't fit properly. The answer to that is no, it wasn't botched. They did that deliberately. They wanted to see them dance. If you botch it, if you put the noose in the wrong spot, it won't break the neck. They'll strangle. So they strangle them. The other thing to know about the Haymarket guys is none of the eight had ever been charged with anything. They had no criminal records. These were basically socialist talkers and agitators, people who believed in helping workers. They work they work very hard to help people. So they did. They didn't have any record. They sang the Marseillaise. Oh, and they called the Pinkerton man, and they said, you were at their meeting, so tell us about one of the meetings. So he read from his notes. He said there was a motion, this is 1885, to support Louis Riel and the half-breeds of Northwest Territory, Canada. That's what they did. That was the motion was made by Albert Parsons, who hanged. Next week, we'll probably talk more about this. I want to talk about the sad young man, 20 years old, Louis Ling. That is a very strange story. But here's, I'll tell you the kicker for it. He said, and Louis Ling was found, they had bombs in his house when we went to his house. And the defense lawyer said, Your Honor, I think we ought to have laws in this state prohibiting building bombs, but we do not. There is no law against making a bomb. And that went over like a bomb. Anyhow, hey, listen, it's the Taylor Report. We're getting near the end here, so you've got to get aboard. Go to CIUT.FM, donate. Call us at 416-946-7800. And if you're out of town, 1-888-204-8976. And come in on the ground floor, 8950, and that way you get a shot at all the wonderful prizes. And we do buck the tide. Oh, hey, I like to promote things on the Taylor Report. YourViewsMatter.ca. We need to get people to sign there. YourViewsMatter.ca, a petition against this really nasty piece of legislation, which tries to increase the number of political criminals in the country by labeling them. As Pascal said, laws are passed to create crimes. And it's a dumb idea. The Americans did it, so you know it's a dumb idea. And it didn't save them from anything. They passed this legislation in 1938, and they've been dumb since I can remember. And they created McCarthy after 1938. Think about it a little bit. You don't really have to go and join. And I remind you, two eyes are starting to look at the other three eyes, and we may be out of eyes here pretty soon. So the Anglo-Saxon system is in trouble. And the Taylor Report is here to tell you about that. So, hey, I got to thank Shay. He works like a beaver, does great work. And this is all for the Taylor Report. Call, yeah, go to CIUT.FM, donate, 416-946-7800. And we got a show coming up here. And I got the name. And I missed it. Anyway, see you next week.